Bannerbox Radio, America's most favorite dessert. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Banterbox Radio. I am your host, Thomas Towson. And joining me today, all days, every time, everywhere, hello, Daniel, Mr. Daniel, our co-host, Mr. Daniel Knight.
That is... Wow.
It's real star service I gave you.
Yeah, it was like you're like one of those auctioneers, except like a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it was more of a rolling out the red carpet.
But, oh.
I mean, if you want to be a jerk about
it. Game show host.
Yeah, if you want to, I mean, I guess if you want to be ungrateful.
Don Pardo.
Yeah.
I am ungrateful, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I don't appreciate anything that you do.
So, we're back again this week. It is Wednesday, March 10th.
Is it Wednesday? I thought it was Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. It is, isn't it? It's Tuesday, it March 10th. And we are back with another episode of Bannerbox Radio. Longtime listeners of the show, or new ones, may have noticed that this show is now hosted on our own website. Mm-hmm. I can confidently say that we have a brand new website, bannerboxradio.com, where you can stream and download every episode of the show. As well, there are contact forms that you can send us concerns, interests, anything you got on your mind. Tell us how you're feeling. On top of that, there is also an email where you can contact us directly. The contact us page does take that to our email, but if you want to just send us a personal email of some sort, fine, that's fine. Send it to bbr@bannerboxradio.com. Aside from that, things are pretty much great.
Yeah. Hit the ground running.
Yeah, we're really enjoying doing this show, and here's to hundreds of years more.
We will definitely be dead by then, but maybe the legacy will live on?
The legacy will most definitely live on.
Through other people, our children?
And their children's children's children.
Will we make children with each other?
We're gonna have to.
We're gonna have to. You and me make babies together?
That's the only way.
To make...
Yep.
Tans? Tans or Domuses? I'm not sure.
They will be beautiful.
Yeah, they'll be tans.
Yeah, tans.
I like that.
That sounds solid. All tans. Right. So, again, just like every episode, at least, you know, within the new format, we're gonna be talking about some weird news.
Yeah.
News that is the most important news. Way more important than real news.
Which you could get anywhere else and it doesn't matter, so.
This is the good stuff, with all the flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got the flavor, yeah.
Let's talk about a guy, Robert Daniel Collins. Police in Ohio say they have arrested a man, Robert Daniel Collins, 39, who called 911 to accuse his wife of stealing his stash of cocaine.
What?
So that's mistake number one.
Why would... What? That doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that?
When police arrived and found Collins, who was wanted on an active warrant for failing to pay fines on a previous case, he was in possession of a glass pipe he identified as being for smoking marijuana. Whoa. All right, so that's problem two. He called the cops about his wife stealing his cocaine, waited till the cops got there, where they found his bowl, basically. And was like, oh, yeah, that's for smoking pot. No big deal. Whatever.
Maybe it's a sour cream scoop.
Maybe it's...
Not weed.
So he was taken to the Stark County Jail on misdemeanor charges of possession of drug paraphernalia and misuse of 911 and being the stupidest guy in the world. I thought we'd hit the peak with guy posting on his own Facebook page.
Yeah.
Calling the cops... that someone stole your coke and then showing up with bowls, like, you know, pot smoking apparatus,
mm-hmm.
readily available, I think takes the cake. Well,
I can't imagine, like, what exactly is going through his head? Like, is he like, well, technically I don't have the cocaine on me, so they're not going to charge me with possession of it, because it's not mine, you know, like, the greater, it is mine, but it's not.
The greater crime here was the theft, really.
Yeah.
So.
That's at least what he felt.
That was his coke, and he deserves to have it back.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
It's not fair. It's just not fair.
So the suspect was released. He paid his own fines to get out. And he's scheduled to be arraigned on Friday. Mm-hmm. And police did not say whether or not the allegedly stolen cocaine was recovered. Oof. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he didn't even get his justice.
He didn't. There was no... He called the cops to get himself arrested.
Well.
He did it.
He Congrats. Did. He's a winner.
He's the real winner here.
Well, I think if anybody's going to be the winner, it's the girlfriend who made off with the cocaine.
Yeah. She's not in jail, and she has cocaine.
Yeah. So
it's a win-win. Win.
Really?
Yeah.
She must not have been too fond of him anyway, so it wasn't a big deal that he was in jail.
It blows my mind to see people that are this stupid.
Yeah, how does that happen? Did he just... Maybe it was just so impulsive. Like, I'm so steamed. I want to get my drugs back. Somebody has to be... somebody needs to be so angry like me.
Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, in lieu of stealing... There's actually a couple that was caught on camera stealing women's underwear.
Great.
Yeah. So,
what's new?
Upstanding citizens. $9,000 worth of women's panties, to be exact.
I see.
In Cheyenne, Wyoming, a man and a woman were seen later on surveillance cameras stuffing the women's underwear into a large plastic bag. And I saw the picture of this. It's ridiculously huge. Like, it's comically huge.
Uh-huh.
And they were in a JCPenney that's part of a mall. And what? Stuffing...
No.
Yeah.
JCPenney's part of malls?
I know. Wow. I never see them connected to a mall. They're always somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Officer Dan Long said they made off with over 1,000 pairs of panties.
What would you do with 1,000 pairs of panties?
Cover myself like a mummy. An underwear mummy. I don't know what I would do. Probably sell them.
That's beautiful. Well, no, that's a beautiful image. I want to believe this guy is actually not a creep, and he's just a guy who's always wanted an underpants mummy.
Underwear mummy.
He's not weird. He has passion. He's got a passion.
I don't know why my mind went to that, but what would you do with 1,000 pairs of women's underwear?
Let's see, 1,000 pairs of... I would not be in that situation. I don't think I have a hypothetical for that. What would I do with 1,000 pairs of women's underwear?
What would you do?
I would make a fort. I'd string them all together and make a sweet fort. It'd be, ironically, no girls allowed.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want you stinking up my fort with your girl stinkiness. Oh my goodness. So yeah, they're stuffing 1,000 pairs of panties into a giant plastic bag, and the employees of the store didn't even notice that these people stole the panties until
they left
a few minutes after they had taken off. Like. They're still at large, apparently. They haven't been caught. And I don't know how... I mean, that's bold.
That's the panty thief at large.
Yeah.
That's a real top shelf American crime there.
That's a Guinness World Record panty raid right there.
Wow, I never thought about it that way.
You should go into the books. Dressed as mummies. In their forts.
So here's one for you. Check this out. A New Jersey court... rejected a lawsuit from a man who allegedly suffered burns from his Applebee's fajita. First mistake was going to Applebee's when he bowed his head to pray. Jimenez, the guy in question, said he bowed his face over his steak fajita, which was served on a skillet, and soon heard a loud sizzling noise followed by a grease pop that led to a burning sensation on the left side of his face, including his eye. This is a lesson to everyone listening. Never put your face over grease, over hot grease. Now, this in itself is a funny story. Well, yeah. Not really. The guy was an idiot. That was dumb.
That makes it funny.
And yeah. He's suing them because he got burned. But the best part that turns this from goofy mishap to 1990s comedy movie is... once he was hit by the hot grease, in a panic, he knocked the plate over into his lap and causing further burns. So he puts his head over to pray, hit by the grease, panics, flips out, smacks the plate, flies through the air, lands in his lap. That burned. Now he's screaming to high heavens. He's freaking out. And here's what he has the gall to do. He's filing a lawsuit against the restaurant. That they saying they negligently gave him hot food that led to serious injury.
What?
Yeah. Oops, sorry. We gave you hot food.
I guess you couldn't tell by that frying pan we bring it out on.
That almost always has the little, you know, the hand. The little mini, what are they called?
Like an oven
pot holder. Yeah, yeah.
Looks
yeah.
like a condom almost.
There's no way you could possibly know that that was warm.
Yeah. How would you know? And usually, it's almost like, without fail, the waitress always says, like, careful, that's hot.
Yeah.
Now. Don't put your face in it.
So he's doing this lawsuit, and it was already, it was completely ruled against by the court, saying that the fajita skillet was obvious and open when Jimenez chose to put his face near it, which is the obvious answer really? Here. Yeah.
Wow.
the reason I like this so much is the image. It reminds me of something. You remember, what was that movie? It was Rat Race?
Yes.
Who was the guy who acted? I can't remember the actor's name. I'm terrible with actors. There's a fun fact for everybody. What is the actor's name? Lovitz.
John
Lovitz. It reminds me of something that would have happened to John Lovitz in Rat Race.
Mm.
Like this just completely goofy stop at a diner.
End up looking like Hitler thing. I was thinking more, well, when you said Rat Race, I was actually thinking Rowan Atkinson. Who is Mr. Bean. Because that is definitely a Mr. Bean type mishap, where one terrible outcome leads to many more. Except Mr. Bean never fried his body parts with fajita grease because he wasn't as dumb as this guy.
Yeah, perfect.
There's that. Okay, well, so. Recently, a luxury hotel was under attack by a disgruntled local. The Mustelid showed up at around 5 a.m. on Friday at the Radisson Blue in Stockholm, Sweden. If you're not familiar with that term, it's a badger. I had to whisper it. It's a badger. It's a badger. The guests and employees at the hotel were prevented from entering or leaving for over 40 minutes because of this angry badger.
Jesus.
They actually eventually called the police, and in the report, they said that the badger seemed, quote, crazy or stressed.
Oh.
It was a stressed badger. The spokesman noted that it may have been due to it being woken up from hibernation. And then the badger eventually left the hotel on its own accord.
I know when I'm woken up from naps, I'm real ornery.
Yeah.
I'm a real sticky Tuesday.
You just better not get in my way.
Not till I have my morning
snakes.
What do badgers eat? I'm terrible.
They eat like everything. They eat snakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a mongoose? No, that's a mongoose.
That's a mongoose.
Mongoose eats snakes. They're like giant rodents, too.
Megan's going to kill me for this.
Yeah, she knows.
She knows.
She's listening, probably. Yep. She knows, but doesn't matter. They eat peanuts.
Yep, and that's probably right. That sounds right.
And rock candy. And they have a steady diet of pennies.
Perfect.
And that's why he was mad, because he was in Sweden, and they don't have pennies there.
No, they don't.
Not American pennies, and that's their main diet.
I bet you folks didn't know that you were going to be getting a lesson on animals.
Yeah, I mean, because this is 100% accurate.
Now. Yep, it's a podcast all about, it's a nature podcast.
That badgers eat pennies and Pop Rocks.
No, and rock peanuts. Candy.
I'm so wow. sorry. Wow. I am really sorry about that. That was misinformation right there. Didn't want to feed you wrong information. Feed you the right information. It was Pop Rocks.
We're not here to spread misinformation.
No, not at all. And they're also half human.
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Oh,
that doesn't sound right.
I've never. What is a badger? I've never seen one before.
Who
are you? What am I doing here?
So, all right, let's go on to the next one here. Let's talk about leaders in the Party District. I'm not even sure what the Party District is, but it sounds like a real happening place.
The Party District?
Yes, the Party District.
Is that a New York district?
It might be. No, it's leaders in the Party District of St. Pauli in Hamburg, Germany,
ooh,
where the beer was made, of course, that St. Pauli with the that I also know very little about.
St. Pauli girl.
Are discouraging public urination by covering walls in paint that pees back.
What?
The St. Pauli interest community released a video explaining the most frequently soiled walls in the district are how they are being covered in a super hydrophobic paint that causes sprayed liquid to bounce back in the opposite direction, causing public urinators to make a mess out of their own pants and shoes. The walls treated with the paint are labeled with signs reading, "Don't pee here, we'll pee back."
Wow.
That's a sassy wall right there. Hey, mister, I'm a wall that don't need no pee.
Don't you pee on me. Wow. It pees back.
Yeah, so it's you're familiar with hydrophobic solutions, right?
I've heard about the shirts.
They coat it in a liquid or some sort of substance that allows water to completely be repelled off. So what they're doing is they're spraying walls with this so that people who urinate on them, the pee bounces right back on them, on their legs, making them have stinky old pee-pee legs is what I think they're having.
This is really that big of a problem over there? Like,
it is the Party District.
That's what happens at a party. People can't control their urine.
Now, what I want to know is, I assume it doesn't, because I know that the technology itself probably only applies to mostly water solutions, so it probably doesn't work for paint and stuff, because how great would it be if it was paint repellent? So you sprayed the wall like you're trying to do graffiti, and it goes back in your face.
Oh, man. That would be, wow, Banksy would have a real problem with that one.
Banksy being the only... graffiti artist.
Graffiti.
I'm a hip happening dude.
He likes the graffiti. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Another bit of news here. A goldfish owner ends up spending over $500, well, not dollars, euros, on medical bills to keep their goldfish from expiring.
Mm-hmm. It's goldfish surgery.
It's yeah. It had a blind cancerous eye that they removed in an operation involving a team of vets. They actually had a specialist come in, and then the other goldfish ended up having a lump in the
Lump a dump, yeah.
It had a lump, and it's pretty disgusting. The photo
it is
we have here.
It is. See, this
goldfish
so,
with a missing eye.
Now, this I have actually heard of this before. This isn't the first time this has been done. It's interesting to see that it's being done again. And it looks like two goldfish are recovering.
Yes.
So it's two goldfish.
Yeah, it was originally one. This one called Star. That the daughter of this family won at a fair.
That's the one. That's the one I had heard of before.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, this is not the first time this family has had surgery for their goldfish.
But this fish is old. Like,
yeah.
This goldfish is...
very
she got
old.
It when she was 12, the daughter.
Uh-huh.
And she's now 21.
Wow.
So this
taking good care of their goldfish.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't when she was 12. It was 12 years ago.
Ah, okay.
I apologize.
Which would make her 9, which means longer ago.
Yeah, longer ago. Longer ago.
Longer ago. We're good at this.
Mrs. Gordon, the mother, said, "I know it seems like a lot of money to spend on an operation for a goldfish, but what was the alternative? Aside from, I guess, letting it perish. I think we've got a social responsibility to look after our pets, and I know my daughter would have been distraught if anything had happened to the goldfish."
So there are probably two schools of thought on this.
You fiend!
People who think it's crazy they spent so much money to fix a goldfish. And then the other school of thought, that it's really touching. Like, it's, they might, you know, a close bond between pet and owner. Mm-hmm. But that's a very different discussion for a very different day.
Isn't it?
Isn't it? I think it's kind of nice. I think it's cool. I mean, if you got the money.
I don't know. I think it's 500 euros. I mean, I don't use euros, but it's that's about dollars, $500.
Basically. Yeah, close
enough. That's so much money to spend. Like, I think that there's people, you know, that would consider putting, like, they're like, I don't know if I want to spend $500 on my dog or cat to keep it going. But even then, I think it would make more sense. A goldfish, what does a goldfish do exactly?
Well, you know, some people like their pets, Dan,
and they want to replace their eyes because they look disgusting with an eye socket with nothing inside of it. I'm just surprised that the thing has been alive. That I didn't think goldfish could live that long.
Yeah, neither did I. 12 years seems like a very, 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 very long time for a goldfish. But maybe I'm just not. I'm not well-versed in goldfish, to be fair. I have no knowledge of the goldfish lifespan, so...
Me neither.
That me being shocked by how old it is based on absolutely nothing.
Based on what I know about badgers.
Yeah, which is also nothing.
Very little to nothing. During the operation, the vets used a Doppler ultrasound equipment to listen through earphones to pulse sounds in order to evaluate the blood flow of the goldfish.
The procedure they used is actually really neat. If it's anything
really
like
that, intricate.
Probably like the last time I you know, that this happened to the previous one. It was really crazy. Like, pumping it with oxygenated water. It's a very, very, very fast procedure. You have to be on the ball.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, it was syringed with oxygenated water containing anesthetic. And that it had to be delicately held in a bucket of oxygenated water. And they had to, like, move it gently so that the water flowed over its gills, so that it
That's
got,
crazy.
Like... It, yeah, it essentially, like, yeah, brought it back through that. It's, yeah, insanity. I can't believe...
It's, yeah. Kudos to the vets for being awesome and being incredibly skilled, because there's no way that I could even comprehend what must have gone into that.
Exactly.
Great. That's... You took the words right out of my mouth. I believe that is all we have for this week. Is that correct?
That would be correct, sir.
Are you sure?
Am I?
But it's only been 20-ish minutes?
20-ish.
That means we're keeping within our 30-minute time frame here.
We are.
That's what we're going to be trying to do. So the last show was 45 minutes. And we're going to try to keep it to 30 minutes. We know your time's precious. Beautiful and sensual and succulent.
Ugh, what?
we're gonna keep it down to about half an hour. There are some things I want to talk about, though, before we go that are not weird news.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the show, I mentioned we have the website and we have the contact form. We actually had our very first person contact us. That being a Mr. Phil Donjou.
Ooh.
Donjou, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Phil, if I'm not, I'm so sorry. But I think that's right. Like the pear, right?
Phil D'Angelo.
Yes, Fillmore
D.
It's Phil Donjou.
Maya Angelou.
So, I want to give a serious thanks to him for being the very first person to submit a contact through us. He gave us a really awesome feedback on enjoying the show.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a ton, Phil. Anybody else, please feel free to fill out that form or send us an email. Let us know what you would like, what you don't like, what we could do better to make this show a better experience for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to give a surprise shout out
That
Dan had no knowledge of
prior to this.
But I actually want to give a shout out to Brett Parker for being by and far our longest supporter.
Yeah.
He's always been super hyped for the show. He's always been interested in when the next one's coming out, and he's just been a really cool guy.
He is.
For those who want to check out more stuff on him, he actually co-owns two comic book shops here in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Double Midnight. Check him out, because he's a real cool cat.
He is. He really is. Yeah.
We appreciate everybody, though. Everybody who listens, we appreciate you all, and we really, really are very happy that all of you are sticking around to listen to the show.
Authentically, yeah, thank you.
We really couldn't do this without you. It'd be no purpose. Who would we talk to if it weren't for the listeners?
Well, essentially, right now, we're just talking to ourselves. So, I mean,
it's not until we put this online that people are hearing us. So, yeah. Really, we're just being weirdos and talking to ourselves.
Yeah. But that's part of the course. I mean, that's who we are as people. We are weirdos that talk to ourselves.
That's true.
Most of the time when I'm in the car, I'll have conversations with myself, and I'll carry a knife on me at all times. No, that's not true.
But, yeah, again, just to, not to go on too long, but to just thank you, everybody who listens, and everybody who doesn't won't hear this, so it doesn't matter. But the most important thing for everybody to know is...
And remember, Russia didn't consider beer to be alcohol until 2011. It was previously classified as a soft drink.
Thanks for listening, everybody.